Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.
Before I read the passage, I need to set a little bit of context for us. Last week, we talked about the book of Judges, and I mentioned that how the book of Judges ends. It ends with the phrase that the author, the historian pulling it together, is making an editorial observation. In those days, there was no king in Israel. All the people did what was right in their own eyes. Part of the backstory for us, the code that we need to understand is that in this particular time, the children of Israel had a king. They had a king. That was the implicit, explicit understanding that when God delivered them from the Egyptians, God was going to be their king. Yahweh was going to be their king. And they start off their time in Israel with understanding that, and slowly over time, they get to sort of where they march to their own drum. I'm certain that's not a 21st century problem, right? Nobody does that in the 21st century, march to their own drum. So that's the way the book of Judges has ended, and that, frankly, we've got Ruth stuck in the middle there. That is exactly the context of what is going on in Israel when we have this reading from 1 Samuel. Israel is experiencing both external and internal issues. The internal issues are many, but I want to focus on one as it relates to our scripture today. Eli is the chief priest. He is the guardian over the Ark of the Covenant. This is before Indiana Jones has shown up and rescued it. But nonetheless, he's the guardian over the Ark of the Covenant. And his two boys, Eli himself is a good man. He's a good man. Unfortunately, his two boys use their power to accomplish their own goals, their own measures of what is good. And even a prophet has come by and tried to get Eli to get his boys to listen to him, and it's been to no avail. Eli has attempted it, but the boys just continue doing what they wish to do. And again, we don't have that problem in the 21st century, I know. Then you also have external issues. About this time, there was a huge migration of people out of the Mediterranean, out of the Aegean, that we give them the name the Sea Peoples. It's plural, Sea Peoples, and they settled in the Mediterranean basin, extending from what we now call Libya all the way around to what we now call Lebanon. And the particular Sea Peoples that would torment the Israelites were called Philistines. They were the Philistines. And they had a tactical, a strategic advantage over everybody else, because the Philistines and all the Sea People were Iron Age people. And they were dealing in combat with people whose primary weapons were made out of bronze. For those of you that have some background in this topic, you know that iron versus bronze is not a fair fight. And so consequently, the Philistines were bringing a great deal of pain and discomfort on to the children of Israel, as well as to Egypt and other places around the area. Now, Samuel has been promised to God by his mother. Hannah was barren. She's his mother. Hannah was barren. She says, if I can, this barrenness can be relieved from me, I will dedicate my child. I'll give my child to the temple here at Shiloh, and Eli, you can raise him. And that has happened. A child comes into existence. Barrenness is part of the story we've talked about over the last several weeks. But she indeed does have the child, and she does indeed accomplish this, and she gives Samuel to Eli to be raised. And that's about where we are right now. And as I read this, I want you to give Eli and give Samuel a bit of a break, because as you listen to what's going on here, the word of God and visions of God are infrequent, and so he doesn't quite know what it is he's experiencing. Samuel 3, and Greg, I'm going to read one verse longer than is shown on the PowerPoint. Don't be surprised by that, okay? I'm on page 247 of your pew Bibles. Now, the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not gone out, had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, Samuel, and Samuel said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli, and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call, lie down again." So Samuel went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not know the Lord, for the word of God, for the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again, a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears of it tingle." The word of God for the people of God.
I
want to focus this morning on this idea of "speak, your servant is listening." Speak, your servant is listening. Samuel will go on and be a tremendous prophet on behalf of God and the world. He is the one who will eventually anoint David. But I want to focus now on this first encounter that he has, this first encounter he has with Yahweh. And he says to God, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Now, here's the first idea I want to communicate with us today. First, we have to know how to recognize the voice of God. We have to learn how to recognize the voice of God. And I would say in this passage, we're being told that part of how we learn how to recognize the voice of God is the Elis of this world. And you may sit here and be asking yourself, well, who could that be? In some cases, you are all Elis. All of you here today have the capacity to be an Eli, for Eli to speak on behalf of God to others and remind them of how it is that they can go about recognizing God's voice in the world, pointing back to sacred scripture, pointing back to experiences in your life when you have indeed experienced God's holy presence in your life. At the same time, you need to be like Samuel and allow Eli's to touch you. You need to allow them to touch you and speak to you from the Word of God. We're going to be looking at John a little later in the year, but in John 8, verse 47, Jesus would say, whoever is of God hears the words of God. Now, Samuel, in this particular story, has heard the words of God before, but he doesn't recognize them. He doesn't realize that God is calling him specifically by name. So he needs something a little more than that, a little more than simply reading the ancient words to nudge him into a state of understanding. Jesus would say in John 10, verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Part of our task is to get to where we can recognize that God is calling us, that God is speaking to us in our now. The voice of Jesus calling us out as that sacred, holy pastor, speaking to us and calling us and beckoning us towards him, and knowing how to recognize that voice. when I was at the rescue mission on Friday night, I talked about an experience that I had in Atlanta, Georgia, at the psychiatric unit there at Grady Hospital while I was working as a nursing attendant. And a man was there, and he had killed his son while he was there on the ward. He was being charged with murder. And some of us asked him, "Why did you kill your son?" He said, "God told me to kill my son." That's not the voice of God. That's not the voice of Jesus speaking, because it's not the words of God that would be coming down and rolling over this person. We need to be able to know how to test those spirits. I've preached a sermon on 1 John 4 where we're told how to test those spirits. Do they sound like the words of Jesus? Do they sound like the words of Jesus? And my setting from some 50 years ago was that man was hearing what he thought were the words of God, but it did not pass the test of whether or not of sounding like Jesus in the world. We need to learn how to recognize the voice of God. Now, the second part of this, though, is we must want to hear. Now, I will say to you that Samuel seems to want to hear Eli. I give him a lot of points for that. He just doesn't understand exactly how to recognize that voice. And Eli points him back, and he says what to him? "Say to God, your servant is prepared to listen. I'm prepared to listen." And we need to all be in that kind of place. So when God does speak to us, that potentially we can offer to God our readiness to hear God speaking to us. Samuel knows that written word, and he must instead now want to hear the sacred call of God. Paul would deal with this in Romans 10, verse 17. He would say that faith comes from hearing, hearing through the word of God. Samuel will grow and mature here on this, and he will grow into being a great prophet on behalf of God. But first he had to want to hear God's sacred word. Third, we must place ourselves in a position to invite God to speak. He both does that with inviting God to say something to him, but it's also the fact that he was able to be quiet and let the clutter in his life slow down enough that he could hear that. I don't know about you, but sometimes busyness is almost sinful. We get so busy in the world doing the things of the world that we forget to listen for God's voice. We clutter our lives with stuff in such a way that we move through a day and we get to the end of the day and we're physically and mentally and spiritually exhausted. And we've done this without stopping or pausing for a moment of prayer or reflection or devotion to what God may want to speak to us. Sometimes God speaks to us in the quiet. Sometimes when I get my life so cluttered here at the church, I just sometimes lay everything down, turn the internet off. I know that's hard to believe. As long as there's no baseball game going on, I can do that. And I sometimes go up to the chapel upstairs. I go up to the chapel upstairs and just sometimes sit there for 10, 15 minutes and just allow God to speak to me. Sometimes God does speak to me there. Sometimes I come back down and I have an encounter with either Roberta or Leanne or Kathy or other people on the staff, and then God speaks to me through them. You have to find a place in your life to allow God's holy word to roll over you and allow your ears to be opened, allow your heart to be opened in such a way that you can actually hear God speaking to you. The praise band sang to us a few minutes ago, and some of the words that they offered were my sermon. We are listening. You're in a state of readiness, of wanting to be a listener. Breathe your living word into us. It's an invitation. God, breathe your living word through us. Let us be able to take that and go out into the world. Let us hear the sound of your voice and the beating of your heart. The choir on the offertory saying, "Open our eyes, Lord," but they also saying, "Open our ears, Lord. We want to see you. We want to hear you." It's a chance for us to know that we have to sometimes want that with great intentionality. We have to sometimes drag our feet a little bit as that scooter is moving us down. In my case, I got to have that scooter for about 8 or 10 weeks, and I got to motor around the building. And how did I slow down sometimes? Sometimes I use the handbrakes, but other times I put my foot down and drug my foot. What is it you need to do to drag your own foot, to slow your life down so that you can stop and pause and listen to for and to God's word to speak to you? I want to close with three questions. Why might the Word of God be rare in our very lives? Now, the Israelites, it was rare because they had decided they didn't need a king in their life. They didn't need a deity in their life. They didn't need the divine in their life. And that they could settle for themselves what was right or wrong. And it led to chaos. It led to absolute chaos. It led to troubles. So the question might be in your own life, why might the Word of God be rare in your life? I can tell you when it's rare in my life, it's when I don't do enough prayer, when I don't do enough devotion, when I don't do enough Bible reading, when I let the urgency of the world overwhelm me. That's when it happens to me. Why might the Word of God be rare in your life? Who might be your personal Eli to help you actually be ready to hear God's word? Marilyn flew off to Munich on Friday morning. She gets back in a couple of weeks. So my Eli is not here right now. But just because Marilyn's gone doesn't mean that I only have one Eli. I have other Elis out there to help me know when and where God is speaking to me. Who's yours? Who's your trusted voice that you were prepared to listen to and allow them to speak to you in such a way that you hear God's word speaking to you through them? When are you asked to be an Eli on behalf of God for somebody else? Last, if God does speak to you and call you, what then? I have used humor on many times that whenever I felt God's called me, I felt like that it was he had the wrong number. He had to have the wrong number on the telephone call because I was so underqualified. But you notice in this particular passage, we didn't get all the way into the reading, but Samuel immediately goes about his task. Samuel immediately goes about his task to go accomplish the task, and it's not going to be an easy one. Gideon, Moses, others that we have that have been called, they start to argue with God, but Samuel goes about it joyfully. He goes about it. And what he has to do in this call, this first time around, is that he must tell Eli that his boys are going to find God's wrath. God's wrath is going to come, and they're both going to be taken from Eli. Samuel's not going to do it. God's going to take care of that. But he's the messenger on that. Sometimes when God calls you and invites you to be engaged in God's world, the message is to do something hard, to do something challenging. It isn't always something easy, like clean the refrigerator out in the kitchen. Sometimes that's easy, sometimes it's not. But Samuel will be given a hard task. Are you being given a hard task? Here's the three questions. Why might the Word of God be rare in our lives? Who might be your Eli? If God does speak to you and call you, what are you going to do then with that? There was a gathering of very conservative Methodist Christians this last weekend, and I'm normally loathe to read their material they put out, but they put out an observation this week that I strongly endorse. I really do strongly endorse. And one of them said, I don't want to spend my life propping up an institution. I long to be swept up in a movement of God. I don't want to spend my life propping up an institution. I long to be swept up in a movement of God. I wonder if for me personally that isn't a call. That isn't a call from God that has placed upon my heart to try to increase the energy, the Holy Spirit, allow the Holy Spirit to blow in to our lives. I wonder if it's not an invitation for you to sort of hear it the same way and know that God is calling you not to prop up an institution, not to keep the lights on just to keep the lights on, not to keep the heat on just to keep the heat on, but to be an instrument of change in God's world as Samuel would go and be an instrument of change in God's world, as Jesus would go and be an instrument of change in God's world. John 10, verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Jesus knows every one of you here. Jesus knows every one of you here. The invitation is to stand up and follow Jesus in the recognition of Jesus' voice. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we had asked that we be able to truly hear your voice. Hear your voice in such a way that we can respond to your call. Respond to your call with our strengths, the things that we do well, and maybe sometimes the things that we are afraid of and are heavy and hard, but you call us to do those. Let us be able to test those against your word, but let us know that you are with us at all times on this journey. And all of God's children say,
please. Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.